All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It's, November the 3rd, 2025, Monday. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It's raining. It's chilly, beautiful out. Great weekend, great last few days. Halloween. I'm not sure if I spoke about Halloween, but we had a great Halloween. Hung out with the kids. Just really, you know, it's really cool. Especially, you know, I'm getting older, man. And as funny as I've gotten older, you know, we start to have a little more history behind us, or history behind me. Excuse me. And Halloween always makes me reflect on growing up as a kid, and of course how we used to do it and how they do it today. And you know, really, I think one of the many great things about being sober, obviously, but you know, it's so many things have happened in my life I just did not think would happen, right? And one of those is having children. And as my oldest is 20, my middle son is 14, and our daughter is 13. It is, you know, we've done some trick-or-treating, right? We've gone through, you know, the years of the trunk-or-treats and the neighborhoods and, you know, wondering who's got the best candy. And, you know, we've gone through all of it, all the different Halloween costumes. And then always, every year, always reflecting it back to when I was a kid during Halloween, and how we used to, and this topic just came up, you know, how when my brother and I were kids, our parents didn't go with us. We just went trick-or-treating. They may, I guess, maybe went with us as little kids. I do not remember that as much, but I really remember like the Albuquerque days and the neighborhood we lived in, and we would just go with our friends and trick-or-treat. And my brother was telling me how he and a buddy of ours, my best friend and his brother, and me and my brother, and my buddy and I, Billy, were best friends, and then his brother and my brother were best friends. And, you know, they had gone out, and they were grabbing kids' bags of candy on their bikes. And someone yelled, "I know you, Todd!" And but, you know, it's just so many fun memories through Thanksgiving, Halloween, and dressing up and all the different stuff, and just how fun it's been. And, you know, ours is starting to fade out. My middle son, he is not trick-or-treating anymore. In fact, he handed out the candy, and my daughter, she milked it for one more year. But I was surprised there was a lot of kids out there that were big, like a lot of big kids. And the other thing that's kind of weird is that, you know, we've gone from this, you know, like I think traditionally all of Halloween, right? We used to walk around, you walk up to the front door, ring the doorbell, trick or treat. And the person would walk up and give you some candy. And then I guess during the pandemic, they started putting bowls out. And that's sort of where we're at now. And they put these bowls out, and my daughter's like, "There's no bowl." And I go, "Yeah, you just, excuse me, you go ring the doorbell, you go up to the front door, you got to, you know, trick or treat, you got to do a little work for this candy." And of course, there were kids dumping bowls and bags, and I don't know, and I guess I'm getting old and I'm starting to be curmudgeon-y, but, you know, they really have taken collecting candy to another level. And these vans, people with a bunch of kids would just pull into these neighborhoods and just sort of run through them and then load back up and go to the next neighborhood. And, you know, it was like almost we have to get more. And I don't know. It's crazy. But we had a great time. It's probably our last. I don't know. My daughter may do it again next year. Who knows? But it's we're winding down the trick-or-treating. And it's kind of sad to see those days go behind us, but we're doing a lot of other fun stuff, you know, with the kids. That my son Sam went to his first Halloween party, And, you know, it's funny, as I've gotten older, man, I'm not cut out for a lot of this drama anymore. And I was, you know, a little worried. He wanted me to pick him up at 10. And I was thinking about my first Halloween party and, you know, chasing the girls and probably not drinking or doing anything too inappropriate at this age. But, you know, it started to be a thing. It started to be on the radar. And, you know, I just, you know, it is what it is. But I, you know, I hope my middle son can avoid all of that stuff.
This life makes sense. Can anyone tell what I've done? I miss the life, I miss the colors of the world. Can anyone tell where I am? 'Cause now again I found myself so far down, away from far down, away from the sun again, away from the sun again. I'm over this, I'm tired of living.
Away from the sun, three doors down. What a great song. Oh, what a great band. Hadn't really, I don't know. Great band. Anyway. yeah, so we'll see. I hope, you know, I can already tell my son's a little different than I was. So hopefully it doesn't become a thing, but it is what it is. They will have fun and just bite my nails and hope for the best. But, you know, I want to come upstairs. I do, like I said, I want to get back into trying to do the podcast. It doesn't have to be such an emotional roller coaster. It doesn't have to be such a big deal, big ordeal, big dramatic moments. Just checking in and touching base. And I thought, you know, I wanted to read another thing. I thought this was great. It says, let me get the light right because I don't have any light up here. It says, usually... Oh, the page 77, RSVP, yes or no. And this is in As Bill Sees It, and it says, usually, excuse me, usually we do not avoid a place where there is drinking. Usually we do not avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. This includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain ordinary parties. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself, have I a good reason? Oh, wait a minute. Have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere? Then go on. Wait a minute, then go or stay on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive is going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. If you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. Yeah. That's funny. And I'm not sure exactly what it's saying. I mean, I know what it says, but I'm not exact. I mean, I remember, so, you know, that was definitely a thing. In the end of my drinking, I did not hang out in bars, and I did not go to parties, and I did not go to receptions because I was, first of all, I had no friends. And second of all, I didn't know what would happen, right? And if I did go to something like that, I would limit my drinking so that I could, you know, appear to be normal and then probably get home and then do the real drinking. So, but I do like how it talks about this because, you know, I've had people, and I've shared this, I've had people tell me, why don't you just go to the bar and drink seltzer, right? And why don't you just, you know, go and play pool and not, you know, drink any beer? And, you know, I think for me, you know, as a young person coming up, we used to go to the bars because we would like to go cruise the chicks, right? We were into the chicks and the chicks at the bar. And, you know, you get a little few beers and they're having a few beers and we're having a lot of fun. And then hopefully by the end of the night, you're hooking up with something, right? Or someone, I should say, not something. But, you know, that was a good, alcohol was a great, you know, tool to, you know, bridge that huge canyon between me and a girl. And it worked a lot. And we used to have a lot of fun. And, you know, it was good. So one of the problems with getting sober is if a person continues to use that, you know, I guess in their mind, you know, the reality is probably everyone's like, I would never. This guy is a heathen, right? But in our minds, we're like, hey, let's go to the bar. Maybe we can find me my future wife, right? And so that's one of the things we give up, right? And we're probably not meeting a lot of babes anyway. I'm pretty sure our babe days are over at this point. But you never know. But, you know, it's a tool. It's part of my life. It was part of my life when I was drinking, hanging out in bars, meeting people. Like I said, at the end, I did not go to bars anymore, but there was a time. And listen, I've known a few guys. I shouldn't say a lot. I've definitely known a few guys, and I definitely can think of one who loved to hang out at the bar. And he would go down to the bar right around closing time. And he was still trying to, you know, meet somebody that was drunk, right? Because more than likely, the only reason they're talking to us is because they're drunk or we're drunk, right? You know, I don't know how many times people have gone home with somebody that probably wouldn't be on the top of their list, but due to the consumption of the booze, you know, we make exceptions, right? And I'm sure people make exceptions about us as well. So, but he would go down and hang out in Dewey Beach, you know, after midnight, sort of trolling around. But he was really obsessed with women. And he's a good guy. He's not, you know, he is not a bad person, but, you know, that's the problem for a lot of us is that when we have difficulty in social moments and meeting people, alcohol was a great tool. And to take it away really is tough. And so, but, you know, I don't go to bars because I don't want to ruin people's buzz. Right? There's nothing worse than hanging out with somebody that doesn't drink. You know, because it just makes me look at myself and think, God, you really drink a lot, Tom, right? And it's just really frustrating to listen to people babble about when they're drunk and the things that they talk about. And, you know, it's gross. And so I really don't have any reason to hang out with somebody that it has been drinking. In fact, I'm trying to think the last time I hung out with somebody actually under the influence of alcohol. It must have been maybe at a concert or, yeah. I mean, I can't think of the last time I hung out with somebody that was drunk. I give them a break. I don't want to ruin their night and be the downer. But it was definitely a concern coming into when I came into the program is, you know, what if you have to hang out? I remember the first woman I met when I was sober. She liked to go down to the bar in the summer. And we lived down at the beach, and you know, there's some cool summer bars. And I was like, well, I want to hang out. I want to, you know, I'd like to be with this girl. And I remember going to a bar down in Lewis and accidentally drinking some mixed drink. You know, I think I had some sort of strawberry daiquiri, a virgin strawberry daiquiri, and somehow I ended up drinking a drink off of her drink, and I remember swallowing the alcohol, and I was like, oh my God, I think I just went out, right? I think I just broke my sobriety. And I remember calling my sponsor. I'm like, I think I had a drink. He's like, what happened? Calm down. What happened? And I go, I don't know. I just took a drink off of my girlfriend's drink, and I think it had alcohol in it. And he's like, well, you know, listen, you know, is that what you wanted to do? He goes, honestly, is that what you wanted to do, or was it an accident? I go, it was an accident. And he goes, eh, don't worry about it. You know, don't have another. And I was like, okay, but man, what a crazy time. You know, constantly wondering, am I going to stay sober? Did I break my sobriety? What's going to happen? And new recovery is definitely tough. And there are hundreds of questions of how am I ever going to be able to do this? Unfortunately, well, fortunately, her and I do not see each other anymore, which is fine. I actually do her mom's hair. She's cool. Everybody's happy. But, you know, it was tough. And, but yeah, there's a lot of, you know, what do they say? If you hang out at a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. Well, listen, if a person is still trying to, you know, get that opportunity to hook up with somebody that might be under the influence and might give you a shot because they're half inebriated, well, you know, yeah, it's going to be rough. You probably should try to find a, if you want to meet somebody, maybe you can meet someone in a meeting, but don't try to meet them in a bar. I have been to a couple weddings sober. It's been fine. I remember one of the funny things is, during my drinking and drugging, I never got invited to a wedding, right? I was never going to weddings. Nobody invited me to weddings. I didn't have any money to buy any wedding gifts. And then when I met my first wife, the year we got married, I married this real, you know, great lady, tons of friends, you know, went to the university, sorority, you know, just tons of, you know, a big social crowd. And, you know, I had nothing. And of course, that year, four of her friends got married. So we went to four weddings, I think, in 1 year. And I remember going to these weddings and dancing, right? And I was like, you know, I had this new awakening of sobriety and recovery. And I'm like, you know, because I would be the guy that would never dance. I'm not dancing. Hell no. Unless I got some booze in me, and then I could dance all night. Of course, then I fall over shit and knock over things, break things. You know, but that first year, I guess it was probably my first, second year, you know, I started to learn how to dance. And she was definitely into swing dancing. We were going up to Philadelphia taking swing dancing classes, and I was drinking water, and we were, you know, it was like this new awakening. And it was a lot of fun, and we went to some weddings, and we did some swing dancing at the weddings, and so it was really cool. But, you know, I used to laugh because I'd be like the only guy out there dancing for the first half of the night until, you know, the booze got flowing. And then once the booze got flowing, everyone started dancing, and I don't know. It's interesting. But I do think that is it's a good reading. And usually we do not avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, and even plain ordinary parties. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself, have I a good social, business, or personal reason for being at this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere? That's what my buddy used to do. Stealing vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere. And yeah, I don't think... I ran into him recently. He's still sober. He's doing well, but, you know, pretty funny. So yeah, and not a lot going on. Like I said, it's Monday. We're going to start the new week. Still, you know, recovering from the last couple weeks of my own drama, which has been fine. It's really weird because, you know, I'm starting to think about how sort of relieved I am that I'm not doing this, that paddling anymore. It was quite a lot of weight on my shoulders. And we had dinner last night, and a buddy of mine from the paddle club came over, and he was asking me, and I go, you know, I'm sort of just enjoying this relief that I'm not choosing to do it, right? I mean, it's not that I had to do it, but, you know, one of the cool things about that club was the toughness, right? The requirement, you know, what you had to do to be part of it. And one of the things was clearly paddling these big distances, and I'd be like, yes, like I'm awesome. And a little ego, right? I'm sure ego was involved. I still don't know what's going to happen with it. I'm assuming that it is officially over, and, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, still getting used to that, which has been good. I started spinning. I think I shared about that. That's been fun. I'm just sort of taking it light. I'm not really going to stress out too badly about any of this. It's all good. Like I told my buddy yesterday, I love my coach. I love the club. It is what it is. If it's over, it's over. But I had an amazing experience. So that's all good. Let me see. Maybe I can do the daily reflections and then get out of here. Pack up my dad's house. I'm going to try to catch a meeting at noon. I'm actually going to go up and see my dad. So I got a few things to do today, but all right. November 3rd, focusing and listening. There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. 12 steps, 12 traditions. If I do my self-examination first, then surely I have enough humility to pray and meditate, because I'll see and feel my need for them. Some wish to begin and end with prayer, leaving the self-examination and meditation to take place in between. Whereas others start with meditation, listening for advice from God about their still hidden or unacknowledged defects, still others engage in written and verbal work on their defects, ending with a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. These three, self-examination, meditation, and prayer, form a circle without a beginning or an end. No matter where or how I start, I eventually arrive at my destination, a better life. Yeah, you know, I am sponsoring a couple guys, and we meet on Sundays, and I met with one of the guys. One of the guys had something to do, so it was just me and my other buddy. And, you know, it's fun to watch him. You know, when I came into this program, I really just was like, I drink too much. I'm a drunk driver. I get caught too much. And that's sort of the lane I stayed in. And it was tough to start to understand what the point of all this was, right? What's the fucking point, right? I mean, clearly I don't want to drink and drive, but what else is there? What more is there? And working with my buddy that I'm working with, who's a smart guy, smarter than I am. But to watch him sort of go through this, and you know, we've worked the first three steps. We're on the fourth step. I sort of told him the other day, we might need to, you know, maybe get a little more aggressive, right? Let's start taking a good look at this stuff so that we can get through it. You know, a lot of stuff is revealed in this. And we've gone through a few little examples. I've shared some examples, you know, going from left to right, trying to figure out why it is I do what it is that I do. And he had a situation that came up, and I'm going to keep it super general because, you know, but it's been weighing on him. And I'm like, yeah, you know, this. You know, I've said it hundreds of times, right? I am more than likely on 90% of the day, I'm holding the hand of God. I'm in the hands of God, sort of slopping around there and just being chill. And but there are moments that come up in the day where I may say or do something, right? And then when that happens, self shows up, right? Fear shows up, and I let go of the hand of God. And I'm afraid or I'm holding the hand of God. There's one or the other. I'm never doing both. I'm never holding the hand of God on my left hand and holding the devil in the other. It's just, I guess I could probably somehow use the words to make it sound like it's possible, but it just isn't. There's just no way. You can't have both. And you know, that moment where something I do or say, and then all of a sudden the fear comes back. And if you live a life for long enough without fear, when you get a little bit of fear, it's times 10. And then starting to understand, maybe that is the conversation with my higher power or a God that I am having now, which I'm not used to from the past. So whatever. But he's going through some stuff and he's having a moment and he's having some fear. And it's just really cool to sort of be able to talk about how, you know, we can see it. Usually that decision to do whatever it is that we do that creates this could probably be found in the third step, right? We have a choice to turn or not to turn. And if we do not turn, it can be, and if we've been practicing for a while, it can be a little painful. And so it's just really been great to watch him go through this stuff. But you start to, once this starts to happen, right, then it's all that we see, right? It's all that we can think about. And we can be a little obsessed by it. And, I've even had moments of being tortured, right, by this, turn or not to turn our will, right? And everything starts becoming a little clearer. But the situation that he got into, which was really... really minor, right? Really, really, really minor. Like if nothing was ever to be changed with this situation, everyone would be fine, right? It's not life or death. But it's one of those things. I know when I came into the program, I just wanted to be better. And, if somebody asked me something, I may put a little sprinkle on it to make myself seem a little better because I had been down for so long that I was ready to look good in other people's eyes, and I may have to throw a little, salt and pepper on it to make it even taste better. And it wasn't necessary. So they're subtle and they're really pointless, but, they're lies. And when these kind of things happen, back in those days, I'd be like, whatever. But today, one little thing comes out and you're like, oh, and that's sort of what he's going through. And I'm like, but it's great because we can say, look, this is going to be, this is in our fourth. We'll work on it in the fifth. And then we start to, look at our character defects. And then eventually we're going to have to make amends, right? Because that's what starts happening at this level, at this stage of recovery. If we have worked the steps in the program with rigorous honesty, we don't want to exist carrying around these little things, right? These little moments, even though... like I shared that day when I told that my client that I had seen Randy Rhoads with Ozzy Osbourne, and then immediately I was like, no, I didn't. I don't even know why I said that. I just lied, right? And I was telling my friend, and he's like, man, that's quick. I go, I know, I can't take it. Like, I just can't, I can't carry that around. And it's fun to watch him go through these kind of things. And the one thing I have to remind myself is that, we have to talk. Right. We have to talk about these things. My buddy Matt used to say, talk about it. If you have an issue, talk about it. And I'd be like, well, how bad does the issue have to be? And he's like, listen, any issue, if you're having an issue and you're worried about something, talk about it, because it cuts it in half. And it was fun because I could see that happening with him. And when he left, he was like, yeah, that was silly. So anyway, listen, thank you for letting me share. It is Monday. Have a great Monday. I will. I'll catch you later. Bye. The ones like me, I'm so far down, away from the sun again. Oh no, yeah. Oh no. It's down in there.
to make this life make sense, and now I can't tell what I've done. And now again I found myself so far down, away from the sunshine to light the way.